faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I'll focus on that first part of verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What we see nowadays, and of course we've always seen it, but now you see more of it, is not so much a lack of holding, but it's a lack of holding fast. We have a loose grip on Scripture. We have a loose grip on Bible doctrine. And nowadays you see so many turning it away, and they're ignoring it, and they're trying to find more compassionate so-called ways to live their lives that don't involve the clear teachings of the Bible. And I'll tell you what, there is no compassion in lying to somebody's face about life so they can feel good. There is no compassion in that. You know what? I could sit there, I could fall in line with the world, and I could say, fine, if that makes you happy, it's good. I could lie to you and say, if that's the decision you've made, I guess we'll either agree to disagree, but I accept it, and I love you, and I'll support you in this mistake. There's nothing compassionate in that. Why? Because at the end of the race, it is not my compassion they will stand before. It is not my kind-heartedness that they will hand to God and get a free pass for. Well, I tell you what, Matt Rowland thought it. Matt Rowland's a pretty good guy. He said it was all right. Lord's not going to give a care about that. We can sit there, we can agree with a lot of these, what a lot of our Baptists are doing today. And they're cheating and they're doing things. And they're leaving Bible doctrines and they're taking the name off. And they're leaving good foundations, right? They're leaving those things. You know what? It would be awful nice of us to sit there and say, well, you see it your way, I see it my way, but as long as we both love Jesus, brother, we're going to be all right. That's not how that goes. No, I'm not saying you've got to be throwing punches and insults all over the place. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, this is what the Scripture says, hold fast. Because some of us, we can hear, we can understand, and we still have that ability to disobey anyway, right? You know something's wrong. You know something's right. But you don't obey because you've made a different decision. You've got a different understanding. Yes, yes, I know I ought to, but I won't. It is possible to get something wrong because you have never heard it. I've got all kinds of compassion for that. We talked about that this morning. It's hard for us to correct children if we never taught them the right way to do it in the first place. That's important, right? Training is important. You know what? And as adults, there's a lot of stuff we come across we were never taught before, we never seen before. That makes sense. It is possible to get something wrong because it is a complicated thing and you don't comprehend it. Oh boy, I understand that. Sometimes I feel like I've got to look and study and define things a little bit more than I should just to make sure that I've got it. I understand if something's too complicated and we've got to stop and get out all the dictionaries and get out all the commentaries and sit there and really try to get a good scope of it. I understand something complicated not being understood. It is possible and I get it. It's even possible to hear something wrong and draw the wrong conclusion from it, right? You heard it, you didn't quite understand it, but you thought you did, and you ran with it, and before you notice it, oh, I thought that was something completely different. We had the kids up here, and I tell you what, thank you so much for all those working in that. Blessed my heart just to watch them practice. These kids up here singing. That was a wonderful thing. I kind of sat in the back and then I went over and joined the men before prayer band. That's nice to have that, right? But when I was a kid, I used to sing the words wrong. There are times we still sing some of the words wrong. We'll get the old hymn book out, hymn book sitting right in front of you, right? And we're singing what we think it is, right? Because we had the Flat Rock songbook. Y'all got the Home Baptist Church songbook. It took me a little bit of time and transition to get all the words right, because I'll still sit there and go, oh, that ain't right. That's different. it's understood that maybe you caught something wrong. Maybe you read it and it didn't quite make sense, but you drew a conclusion that wasn't really there. That makes sense to me in the scope of theology and obedience where you just didn't get it. Sadly, there's always the fact that there are people out there that present the Bible in the wrong way, and therefore, because it was presented the wrong way to us, we understand it wrong, because it was taught wrong. Right? And most often by somebody who should have known better, or somebody who maliciously wanted to muddy the waters of Scripture. But what we're looking at, what we're going to look at tonight in these passages of Scripture, it is something that Jesus himself taught clearly, right? His resurrection. He taught it clearly. He repeated himself. He didn't mince words, though he often taught in parables. He said specifically what was going to happen, how many days in which it was going to happen. And yet on that morning when he came out, there was nobody there. And the people that did show up later on were surprised that what he said would happen had happened. There's so often when we sit here and we hear Scripture preached, we hear doctrine preached, and we go, yes, amen. But when it comes time to be at the tomb, when it comes down to obey, we're not found. Why? Because we've decided something else. Listen, I heard what he said, but I don't know how important that is. I don't know how true that is. I don't know how, that's the old times. That maybe applies completely different. You know, he did speak in a lot of parables. Or the modern Christianity trick today of, well, you got to see what you got to take seriously and what you don't take seriously. Oh, it didn't mean that, even though it said that specifically 7 times. It didn't mean that. We could twist it and manipulate it. It means the opposite. They play their little games with Scripture so they can get out of their responsibility for doing something. We know God. God does not allow us to slip out of our roles of responsibility. Right? You can sit there and in modern day, you could get away with a lot in the American legal system. I bet you could. You get the right lawyer, you spend enough money, you can get away with murder. People do that every day. God is not so easily tricked. God does not get tangled up in his own laws. He wrote them. He knows what they are. He knows why they are there. You can't find a loophole in that. There are no loopholes with God. We have a responsibility to see Scripture and obey Scripture as is. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Shalom had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, at the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Now, there's a lot that I'm reading into it. Maybe you think tonight I'm reading a little bit too much into it, but I do have that habit. They're walking up and they've got the spices. The spices to do what? To embalm the body. Which makes no sense when you consider that he said he was going to get out of that grave in 3 days. It makes no sense. But the very first glaring thing that I see here is this conversation. Who will roll the stone away? You know what that tells me? Listen, if there's a group of ladies sitting there and they're staring at something heavy, oh, who's going to move this? You know what that tells me? There's probably a man somewhere who could move that who's not there. You know, there were some men that could have moved that stone. Where were they? Not there. Who walked with him for 3 years? Who shared every meal, sat for every sermon, shared every boat ride, every slice of fish, saw almost every miracle, heard every time he said, I'll be back in 3 days. Where were they? not where they were supposed to be. My point number one, these guys were in the wrong place. I tell you what, even if these ladies got it wrong because they had never heard, there was 11 men who should have been there. Even though they were scared, even though they were frightened by what the Romans would do to them, they should have been there. And there are many times in Scripture where we are told to be somewhere or not be somewhere, and we're not found obedience. We are acting as though God never said anything. Well, doesn't it say here that you shouldn't lie? Doesn't it say here that you shouldn't cheat? Doesn't it say here that you shouldn't do this or that? And there you are doing it. Well, you're just, you know, either taking it too seriously, or it's not that bad, or it's this, or it's that. When God says this, that's what it's going to be. We need to have respect for that. We need to be there. Right? Hey, the Lord says this about giving the gospel. Are we there? The Lord says forgive. Where He says to forgive, will we be found there? Or are we going to sit there and let the people around us go, wow, here's this massive problem. Where is the person that's supposed to do the work? Right? Well, here's all this bitterness. Here's all this anger. Here's all these issues. If only there was somebody who'd roll this stone away. And it's you. And you refuse to participate. When the Lord says, man, I wish I would have my child here to talk to me. Now, many of you didn't get the opportunity to talk to your mothers today. But for those of you, your mothers are alive, I hope you called them. Why? Because I bet your mom was expecting it. Bet she was. Now listen, your Heavenly Father wants to talk to you. Are you there? Your Heavenly Father wants to talk back to you through the reading of the Word. Are you there? Or are you off somewhere else watching TV? Or are you off somewhere else tinkering with things and messing around with things and working on hobbies and whatever it is that we get to instead of reading the Scripture? I would say this, let not a single floor be vacuumed. Let's not cook a single meal. Let us not go out to any workshop, tool shed, whatever we've got until we know we've met with the Father. That He's not sitting there going, well, I wonder if Matt's going to show up today. I wonder if he's going to open that book and hear what I've prepared for him today. We ought not leave God wondering that way. Who is it that will step in and do what they're supposed to do? It ought to be you and me. There's a lot of problems get caused in our lives and our families and our workplaces because we do not honor God's word. Because where God told us to be, we're not. Where were they? They were scattered. They were scared. They weren't doing the work that God had given them to do. They were not getting together. They were not discussing these things. They were not at the tomb where they could have been. And the sad thing is they were told so many times. And I think that's one of the piteous things about our sin, is so often the very sins that we commit have been preached about so many times, have been read about so many times, and we're still doing it. Let's take a look at some things here. Right? They were clearly told some things. Right? They were clearly told what would happen. Mark 9:9. And as they came down from the mountain, He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Now, you don't have to look too deep in that, do you, to understand what's going to happen? He's going to die. He's going to rise again. That's not complicated. You could tell that to a group of kindergartners. They'd figure that out. Now, again, I'm not beating on these men. What I'm doing is trying to highlight where maybe there's some similarities between this life and those. This is not to sit there and say what we Christians they were, but how where about perhaps where some of our weaknesses may be. Listen, with God in the relationship of if you do this, I will bless you, the rules are often clear. In the relationship of if you do that, I will punish you, the rules are often very clear. There was clarity in this statement. I will die, I will rise again. And hey, I'll tell you what, if there was any confusion, some questions will probably clean that up real quick, wouldn't it? You always hear that when people get in trouble. Well, I didn't understand. Well, did you ask any of them their questions? Well, no. Why? Because you didn't want to understand. You liked it the way it was. Now, we have time. We have the ability to ask questions, to find out the specifics of what God wanted. He tells us what should happen. Right? When you're in this situation, this is what you ought to do. Right? When it comes down to contention, solve it like this. When you're in church, do these things. As a church, this is how you function. Church, this is all the different things, how you solve problems within the church. We've looked over all that through 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of instruction in the Bible for how we ought to live our lives. And I'll tell you what, it is nowhere near as gray as modern Christianity wants it to be. Well, that's your interpretation. I'll sit there, I'll read a verse to somebody. How do you interpret that? And you know what they've got to do? They've either got to say that they agree with how that very clearly says, or they got to sit there and go, like one of our Supreme Court justices, well, I'm not a biologist, I don't know. I'm not a theologian, I don't know. You don't got to be a theologian. Don't tell anybody about this until I die and I rise again. There's clarity. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. They are clear things. Forgiveness and charity and love. We are commanded to these things. We have no excuse. You'd sit there and say, look, he told you what was going to happen. You know what? He more than a few times told them when it was going to happen. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, listen, I'm not great at math. But if I take 3 days plus three nights, that equals 3 days and three nights. Am I right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not really good at carrying the one and dividing by. I don't know. But that sounds like three, don't it? One, two, three. Mark 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Now here's the thing. He didn't just say it. He said it within proximity of what was about to happen. Jesus gave him a checklist. I love checklists. Don't you love checklists? Did that. Check. All right, here we go. All right, we're going to go in. Here's the council. Okay. Here's the beating. Okay. Here's the crucifixion. Uh-huh. What comes next? Fishing trip. What comes next? Hiding like cockroaches. No! What comes next? 3 days later, I'm coming back! Now listen, if you had a friend or a relative say, I'm going someplace, I'll be back in 3 days, would you not be at the airport if they asked you to be there? If I know where his tomb is, and some of them did, wouldn't we go? Two of them had a race that ought to tell you they know where it was. Right? We used to play this game in high school. You guys ever do the thing where you're out with your friends and you compete over who gets to sit in the second, the passenger seat in the front? Right? Shotgun, we call it. Did you know there was a whole set of rule books on shotgun? And if you really got to a deep contention and the people who were driving with you didn't know where your car was, we used to do this thing where you'd run out to the parking lot and the first one to get to the car blind would get to ride shotgun. This wasn't what happened here. They knew where it was. They knew the number of days. Again, not picking on them, I'm picking on us. Right? Not, this isn't about them right now, but that they're the demonstration. We're the one we're being demonstrated on. 3 days. The Bible can be crystal clear. And I tell you what, we'll still disobey it. We can all be in agreement on it. We'll still disobey that thing. To our detriment. And to our shame. He told them specifically. It's almost like when you're taking your kids somewhere. And you go, all right guys, listen. We're going to get the asparagus. We're going to get the grapes. We're going to get the trash bags. We're getting out of here. And then you go into the store and all of a sudden, what are we doing here, Dad? No, there's obvious that my kids sit there, they develop a song over it. This. They'll sing along. Not us. Not the disciples. Now, what did he say? Now, he said that, but what do you think he meant by 3 days? Let's get a whole bunch of these reformers together. Let's get a bunch of preachers with some PhDs together to sit there and discuss what he meant by thou shalt not lie. Let's get a bunch of preachers together, bunch of well-oiled theologians. Let's get them together and tell me what do you think Jesus meant by if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. What do you think he meant by that? It's not gray. It's obvious. It used to be in our country, we would say that the Bible was written at a sixth grade level. A sixth grade level. Now, we've slipped, but that's not the Bible's fault. That's us. Right? You can't drop the standard and wonder why it's muddy. Okay? Used to be a sixth grade reading level. Nowadays, well, you really got to have a college education to understand. You don't. Right? There are people that can barely get through their high school grades, can get to that book and understand what it says. Why? Because God didn't make it complicated. Now, are there some complicated things? Yeah, there's some complicated things. Are there some things that we might not fully understand until we cross that bridge? Absolutely. Will we continue to learn about the book for the rest of our days? Yes. But I guarantee God had a specific meaning when he wrote it. And it is not, as Scripture says, up to private interpretation. It's not up to us. The Bible means what it says, and we've got to stop being so loose with it. He had just told them again. Listen, guys, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. Bad stuff, my death. And then I'm going to come back in 3 days. 3 days later, here are these ladies going, well, who's going to roll this stone away? Why? Because we didn't believe the 3 days. We'd seen him raise other people from the dead, but, I mean, he's gone. What's he going to do? Exactly what he said he'll do. We try to put God into a box, right? Well, it doesn't seem logical to me. You know what? There's a lot of stuff that we see every day doesn't seem logical. There's a lot. Right? Let's look at the government for a second. Not a lot of logic in that, but we keep sending them money. Right? I tell you what, if you took a poll to see who trusted the government, even people in the government don't trust the government. Like it'd be a high percentage, I bet, if people don't trust the government. We still send them money. And we see their failures. Don't make a lot of sense. You got all these billionaires going out into space, racing just to get out there for a 17-minute ride, blowing millions of dollars just to be able to sit there and say, I went out into space, man. We flew out there. Half the time they're sitting there in front of camera talking on the camera while they're out there. Don't make no sense to me, but there it is. It exists. Right? How is it that our bodies work, you know, with the brain talking to the heart? And how you really look into it. Don't make no sense to me, but there it is. I got this tablet up here, and I must confess, I got no idea. I know how to make it work. I don't know how it works on the inside, but there it is. So listen, if Jesus says 3 days, to me that's just as sure as when I push the button the computer turns on. As a matter of fact, I've got a little bit more faith in that than I do with some device. right? My heart will fail. The government will fail. The devices will fail. I heard somebody, they got online, they were talking about electrical cars. And they said, well, to circumnavigate, and they were being sarcastic, to get around all this high gas prices, I'm going to get one of them electrical cars. And I said, whew, I have a hard enough time with my family unplugging my stuff. And hon, don't get mad at me. But I have a hard enough time getting into vehicles that are on empty when I know for sure they weren't before. Right? Do you really want to put those two things together? I don't. Oh, man, I really got to get to the office in the morning. Oh, I forgot to plug in the car. I mean, think about how many times have you forgot to plug in your phone? How many times have you went to go run an appliance and you ain't plugged that in yet? Now, again, if you want an electric car, go ahead and just give me shotgun in it, right? But he had just told them specifically. And I don't care if you understood the whole I'm going to die and come back in 3 days again. You'd seen him do it with people before. If he could do it for Lazarus, why couldn't he do it for himself? If he was the Son of God, what limits do you really want to put on him? I mean, I tell you what, I could get up in the morning, tell you what I want to do that day, and be wrong more than half the time. Right? Isn't that what happened? I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, it's going to be a great day. And you get halfway through that day, and none of those things happen. Why? Because this happened with the kitchen, this happened over here at work, this happened over here with the grandkids, and just kind of shook everything apart. Jesus called the whole day. And I tell you what, if you're sitting there, if I'm standing there with Jesus, he says, Matt, this is what's going to happen today, and I'm reading this list, I would go, oh, wow, some of that sounds pretty impossible, Lord. I get it. But he called the shot. Was he arrested? Yes. Was he arrested by who he said he'd be arrested by? Yes. Was he beaten? Yep. Did they kill him? Yep. You'd think if I can get all the way through that checklist, by the time I get to that second to last one, I'm going, well, all right. See you boys in 3 days. Stay safe. I would be that. That would be the admirable thing. But isn't that what we do? All right, Pastor, that was a good sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, I definitely liked all the scripture you put into it. I liked that. That was good. So what would be the next natural inclination for us to do? Go home and put the work in for the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, brother, I really liked that. The Devil's Darts series. That was good. Okay, well, what are you going to do to put the armor on? Right, as I like to say, that's a great plan, but where's the shoes? Where's the shoes? I used to say that at work all the time. All right, hey, listen, your numbers are down. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to work real hard. Okay, but show me how. Put some shoes on that plan. Show me how. I'm going to get in. I'm going to make my phone calls. I'm going to check voicemails. I'm going to get into the leads faster than anybody else. Like, what's the plan? That's what we're looking for. Right? I'm going to come back in 3 days. Where's your shoes? We're going to get together on the third day? Who volunteers to be there? We'll watch it in shifts. You go in the first part, I'll go in the second part. I never would have made it to the second part. Right? When that happens, you send so-and-so back to get the rest of us, or you bring him to where we're meeting. We'll get him safe. There was no plan. Why? Because they, just like us, have the ability to hear the word of God and not think anything of it and not put any of it into practice. We look at Thomas, poor Thomas. All through these years, he was the one that doubted. Though nobody else was at the tomb, we single him out for doubting. John 20, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So you got the 10 who only kind of believed, but once there was evidence, now they're on fire. Like, oh yeah, hey brother, you said that thing about how to deal with things in my house. I saw it in scripture. I took the verses. I put them where I needed to see them. And I tell you what, I meditated on those scriptures. I talked to the Lord on a regular basis. I put them into practice. And I tell you what, things were better. Yeah, 10 of them sat there and says, you know what? The Lord was right. And you got that one guy, Thomas. Didn't just doubt, refused to believe. Well, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, but the Lord said it. Yeah, but until I see, man, you show me. You proved in the shadow of a doubt. Now, you got to ask, Thomas, why'd you follow him for so long? Thomas, what are you doing here? Believe that he is the Son of God. And if you don't believe that he is the Son of God, and this being the Word of God, if you don't believe that, or if you do believe that, why won't you listen to the words that it says? Why won't you put them into practice? I know why. Thanks for the salvation, but I'm not going to be a living sacrifice. You know what? I'm into the salvation gig for the heaven, but I want my earth too. I want things to go my way. So where it says do this, I don't got to do that. You proved to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I still won't do it. We want to doubt. Thomas, even though 10 others were sitting there going, son, listen, man, this is what happened. You'd have to have been there. No, you guys are messing with me. Right? It's a conspiracy. You guys are playing games. You show me. There will always be that contingent that doesn't believe, not because it's inconvenient, not because they don't want to, but because they outright refuse and reject any authority over their lives. I want to see evidence. And I tell you what, even if they had cameras and took a selfie with the Lord Jesus Christ, Thomas would have still sat there and said, that's doctored up. It took Jesus Christ himself to knock Thomas's doors down, to get him back on the path he was supposed to be. And I tell you what, I'm sure he was glad when that finally took place. You see, the other disciples, they were in the wrong place. Thomas came at the wrong time. He came late, as all people who scorn the word of God do. It takes them a long time. And I tell you what, we all have a choice when it comes down to living our lives. We can live it the way God tells us to live it, and things are a whole lot easier. Or we can disobey, get into the trouble, get into the problems, get drugged back by God, chastised by God, put on the right path, and then all of a sudden we figure it out. And you know what? You got a cool little story there, but wouldn't it have been a whole lot easier if you just started off where you're supposed to be? I think so. I think we complicate life when we disobey God. We definitely complicate life when we disrespect God. The disciples came. The disciples were in the wrong place. Thomas came at the wrong time. And then you see these dear ladies here with the best of intentions in their heart, coming with the wrong info. Luke 24, verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now these are the angels that they found in the tomb. I mean, you got to think how weird that must be for those heavenly bodies that were there to look over at these women carrying embalming stuff. Could you imagine the conversation in heaven over that? What would they bring with them? Well, yeah, I mean, they came and they brought stuff. What'd they bring? They bring clothes? Did they bring some wet wipes to wipe them down? Did they bring some antiseptic, some gauze? What did they bring to the master? Well, burial spices. Why would they bring burial spices? Well, the whole plan. He laid the whole plan out for them. Well, why would they do that? I don't know. But for whatever reason, they sought the living in the graveyard. They looked for the right answer in the wrong place. They showed up with the wrong things. Going back to what we were talking about in the realms of theology, there are a lot of people who would never say that they are rejecting God's word. there are a lot of people that would never say that they don't believe God's word. But what they do instead is they truck on through life regardless of God's word. Regardless of it. Can I don't like to, but I'm going to anyway. You know, we had the ladies come up here. Do you know why we had the ladies come up here? To honor and respect the mothers. Can I tell you what that wasn't? That wasn't evangelism. That was great that we had some visitors. Praise the Lord for that. I didn't do that for that sake. Right? When we have the kids up here singing in the choir, we don't do that to trick more kids into coming into our church. We do that to serve the Lord. We do that to train them to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord. That's why we do it. Right? Well, brother, you got to do things. You got to have things that will get people into the church. We took Danielle out for lunch today because I can't make sushi and sushi's her favorite. I took her out over there to Frankenmuth and she got to be able to pick out what she wanted. We had a good time. There was a guy sitting next to us. They were waiting on us to leave because half their family was coming in and they wanted our table. Well, it just so happened that as they were coming in, we were paying the check. What a good day. So we're kind of laughing and joking with the, I'm laughing with the waiter. This guy over here starts laughing with the waiter. And I look over at him. He's dressed like he just came from church. He looks over at me. He goes, "You look like you just came from church." I go, "Yep." And then they go to a community Baptist over there in Frankenmuth. And we got to talking. He says, "It used to be that we could, if we had any kind of promotion whatsoever, get people flooded in." I go, "Oh." He goes, "Now you can't get them in if you offer them $100. I go, "Well." I go, "Perhaps." And I didn't say it, but I'm just thinking in my head. Perhaps. That was not how God told you to do it. Man, if I thought bounce houses would fill this place and people would hear the gospel and it would save their souls, we'd have a whole course of them. We'd have a bouncy community. But bounce houses don't save people. If I could slip $100 under a random pew every Sunday, and that would save souls, pass the hat, man. Let's go for it. But $100 won't save your soul. Just being in the building won't save you. Yeah, but it'll expose them to the gospel. You going out and talking to people about the gospel will expose them to the gospel just the same. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's pack the place. Call your friends, your brothers, that one cousin you don't like. Get them in here. But I ain't going to do it with $100. I ain't going to do it with a squirt gun Sunday. It's not going to happen. Why? Because that's not the mode and operation of the gospel. And what are we doing? We're showing up with the wrong stuff in our hands. Well, here's what we got to do. We got to change the way we do music. Why? Why? Why do we make music here in church? Why? Serve the Lord. Worship Him, right? Now listen, we ain't the most musical people. We ain't getting a tour bus anytime soon. Lord says, make a joyful noise. And I'm glad it's just got to be joyful. Why would we change the music? Why should music be one way or the other? Well, it makes people happy. I don't play music for me. Play music to serve the Lord with. Now listen, if that's got certain things, I'm not going to go over what instruments I think do or do not. The Lord says use all of them, right? I got that. But if I sit there and I've got smoke machines and flashy lights and all that stuff, who's that for? It's for us. Lord's just as fine with Amazing Grace as He is anything some washed out from secular music songwriter could write. And I say that exactly as I mean it. Because by the way, a lot of these people that write the modern day songs, the trash songs out there, tell you. Gig over here, and I can't make that money, so I'll here and I'll make this money. They'll tell you. You look for a music. There was a lady out there. She put it out on the Flushing page and on the Facebook. Any churches around here looking to hire a musician? That's not how church membership works. But it's what we make it. Why? Because we're disregarding what God says about things. What's music for? Serving the Lord. I don't hop churches so I can have it. I don't sit there and change large ways and make compromises so that we can make people happy. We do it for the Lord. Now again, we ain't got to be miserable about it. We can enjoy it too. But it's for the Lord. Right? When we sit there and we do something kind for somebody, when we take out our billfold and we hand somebody $20, hey, go into the store, get you some groceries. Hey, come with me, let's get you some food. We don't do that for ourselves. We don't do that so we can put it on our Instagrams. We do that to help them because that's what God tells us to do. To show love and compassion. We need to show up the way God told us to show up, with what God told us to show up with. And do everything in the right heart and in the right mind and in the right way. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Aren't those the same thing? They are not. They're not. Get wisdom. Wisdom is what? Knowing what to do with what you know. Instruction. Get teaching. That's different from just understanding. Right? Apply yourself to education. Well, if you need that, show up anyway. You'll be surprised. It's always good to get a refresher. We see going along with it, we need understanding. Because without understanding, we'll get slipshod. Without understanding, we won't care. And once we get the truth, we need to do better at chasing after it. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now we understand that evil has many different connotations in Scripture. In this particular case, it applies to disaster. We will be able to avoid disaster if we stick with the truth. Did God tell you not to do that? Yep. Don't do it. Well, I really don't feel that way. You need to catch up with it. Because it's the truth. Well, you know, I don't know. That's the truth. Well, isn't truth subjective? Truth is subjective to the Scriptures. Yes. That's it. What it says, we do. What it says not to do, we don't do. It should be very simple. It should be very easy. Charles Spurgeon said this, if our faith be worth anything, it will stand the test. Guilt is afraid of fire, but gold is not. The paste gem dreads to be touched by the diamond, but the true jewel fears no test. It is a poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true. The body full of health and the business profitable. But that is true faith which holds by the Lord's faithfulness when friends are gone. When the body is sick, when spirits are depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. A faith which can say in the direst trouble, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, is heaven-born faith. Why you do that? Because God told me to do it and I've got faith. I've always said this, faith, if you break it down into an acrostic, is what? Following any instruction that's his. No fear, no doubt, no overthinking it. You say it, it's done. Because I trust you, Lord. Yeah, but what about all these famous philosophers today? Can I tell you this? A lot of these philosophers, where we're getting some of the trouble that we're getting in our society, 19, 20, 21 years old. So much experience under their belt, it's amazing. Right? All these people out there that are writing the things, their lives are a mess. They've been divorced a dozen times. They create all these issues for themselves. They've got addictions. They've got all this stuff that they've got to take just to obtain to normality. They don't know. God has stood the test of time. I trust Him. Nobody on YouTube ever died for my sin. Nobody in any of the schools I've ever attended knows what God knows in His book. Knows what God, how do I want to put this? Nobody could write the book that Jesus wrote, that we see in the Bible. I feel like I'm kind of messing that up, but I think you get what I'm saying. There ain't a man on earth could write that book outside of God. I fixed it. There's nobody out there. You know how many self-help books? We could probably go to a bookstore and just walk down the self-help aisle. Not a one of those clowns agreeing with each other. We could go out there. It's a billion-dollar industry, the self-help industry. And you know what I like? I like when they write a book, and 10 years later they write a book that contradicts the first book they wrote. Why? Because they ain't got the experience to be talking about life yet. God does. In Him do we trust. In Him do I answer to. So I tell you what, you tell me to wait 3 days, I'm waiting 3 days. You tell me to not do something, I want to stay away from it. The trick is maintaining that attitude regardless of what's going on around us. Well, I could make a little bit more money if... stay away from it. I could get out of trouble if I just... walk through the fire, Lord will take care of you. Well, if I compromise a little bit, maybe we could get some more people in here. You can't... What was that? Brother Dennis, you were telling us about a crack in your boat. I was thinking about this, brother. You know, if you just widen that crack out, you'd probably catch more fish. Am I right? I mean, yeah, it questions the integrity of the boat. And you know what? Anybody who tell you that you're going to sink, they don't know anything about bailing, right? You can bail. You can bail the water out, right? Man, if we just compromise a little bit, we'll be all right. That's not how that works. You want people to come to safety, you can't bring safety to those people. They got to come to Christ. And if they're going to come to Christ, you better be following them. That's awfully awkward, you saying, hey, come follow me, and you've lost sight of them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You.